All right, welcome to the Dennis Stuckey Show.
I'm fired up.
We have brought in Matt Sheehan, no relations to Riley Sheehan.
No, unfortunately not.
Bobby McKillop has wandered in off the street like a lost puppy dog.
Yep.
Found my way in here again.
This sounds like it has the makings of a fun show. So Mike Ilitch passes away, because I haven't seen either of you since that recently just happened. And that's sad for all of us in the Detroit area who root for Detroit sports teams, for the state of Michigan. And you would think that your hockey players would respond.
Here we go.
Yep. Well, come on, Bobby.
Razzik.
The guy is like a father to you. And he passes away, and you come out in a game you've got to win and get shut out at home.
I mean, those games
by a goaltender that guy's mom doesn't even know who he is.
Wow. That's a hot take.
This is the way it is.
Yeah, good. I like this.
I mean, I think, you know, previous to that game, I think they had to win the previous game as well. I mean, they didn't pregame skate yesterday, which is not normal for them. They went to the Fox Theater. They were all there. It was an emotional day. Obviously, they had a tribute before the game. And, you know, I haven't been in that situation. I can only imagine being in that situation. Things are not normal there for sure. Even though the management, how management has run things over the last couple of years, is that doesn't affect them at all. It's been run the same way. But him and what he's meant to that organization, not only the organization, but the city and what he means to hockey in general. But as a player, as a veteran player, yeah, I mean, you want to go out there and perform well on that night, no question. The fans wanted them to play well. Watching that game, obviously, they couldn't get the puck in the net. But they're in a position right now where, you know, things just aren't going well. And when things aren't going well, now you add this to the mix, and I mean, how much pressure was on those guys to perform last night? A ton. And obviously they came out flat, and St. Louis gave them every opportunity to perform last night. But hey, what a run. I mean, you and I talked about this before, and people are so down on the Red Wings. What a run. What a run we had. It's time to get with reality of who we are now, and what the reality is, you know, you got a team north of the border that's trying to set a blueprint for you, and it's time to follow it. We got to blow things up and move on. But, you know, with Mr. I and with the family and what the city's going through and whatnot, now you add the fact that it just happens to be on a year where the team is going to end their playoff streak and move into a new building. So it's there's some strange things going on down there right now.
Some different things. I'm sorry. I can't forgive them for last night. You can't go out and lose that game. And you know what? Peter Mrazek was actually pretty good last night, but that first goal can't go in.
Right.
You got to make that save for your team in a must-win game.
Yep.
They should still be playing right now. It should be 0-0 in the 100th round of shootout.
You're preaching to the choir. I mean, you know, and I don't even want to go down this road because it's really not fair, but I guess it needs to be said. It all comes down to the makeup of your hockey team. And last night just showed it again. It just showed it again in a game that meant something, that wasn't just a normal game, on a day where I'm sure there was some stuff said in that locker room before the game of this is an opportunity for us to honor somebody that's meant so much to this organization and meant so much to this city. Forget about the 2 points. Forget about where it puts us in the playoffs. We have to win this. That stuff was said in the locker room. I've been in the locker room. I guarantee you that's what was said. I guarantee there was an emotional statement made by, if not Kenny Holland, for sure Blash and obviously Zetterberg and the boys. But it comes down to makeup. They just don't have it. I mean, if you can't win that game, I shouldn't say that. If you can't show up for that game in a fashion where the only way you lose is by bad goals, penalties, some fluke stuff happening, but you absolutely, everybody in the building goes, wow, did you see the effort those guys had last night? I didn't see it.
No.
I just didn't see
it. Me neither. Maybe for a flurry in the last 30 seconds of the game, they had some opportunities, but that was the only time the entire night where I thought, oh, boy, here we go. We might get one. Wouldn't this be dramatic to tie it up in the – no.
They had plenty of chances to score, and you know, and again, now the coach comes out with me, right? I mean, you know, that puck's around the net. As a goal scorer, there's already three guys in there. Back up. Like, can't you as a goal scorer just back up and look for the puck? Why are we? You're not going to score on top of the goaltender. You're just not. The puck's definitely coming 5 to 6 feet outside that crease. It's going to end up there for sure. You took a look at them. Everybody's crowding that. Everyone's crashing the net. You don't see that one guy that Fedorov, that Yzerman, that Shanahan, that Hall, that guy that's just that pure goal scorer that just knows where the back of the net. The closest guy we have right now is Vanek. And, you know, Manth is finding his way, and Anathisiou is finding his way. But, you know, that pure goal scorer just doesn't exist. He just doesn't exist.
Here's the thing, and I knock on Nyquist all the time. Matt, you're not around enough to know that Nyquist is one of my whipping boys.
Not the president of the fan club?
But he's a skill guy.
Yes. And so Tatar.
When a skill guy gets a 6-game suspension.
Because he doesn't want to get traded. Yeah,
this is what the Red Wings do. Insert Steve Ott. Insert Thomas Yurko. Insert Drew Miller. What are you doing? A skill guy went down. Replace him with a skill guy. I know where you can find some.
Yeah, top six for top six, right?
Martin Furk, or however you say his name, down there has got 17 goals in 30 games or whatever it is. Bring him up, and don't bring him up to put him on the fourth line so Riley Shahan can play Nyquist minutes. Put him in Nyquist's spot on the line that Nyquist plays on with Zetterberg and Mantha, and give the kid 6 games to show you if he can play in the NHL or not. I guarantee you, if he does nothing, he hasn't hurt you. But if he does something, you might just find a diamond in the rough. He can't hurt you. He can't hurt you because the guy he's replacing is doing nothing. But he might do something, as opposed to replacing doing nothing with a guy that you know is going to do nothing.
Well, you have to go down that road eventually, right? I mean, eventually, we're heading down that road.
How many opportunities have they had to go down that
road? We're heading down this road anyway. There's going to be a change in the guard here in Detroit, whether it comes from making trades, whether it comes from free agency, or whether it comes from the farm club. But you're definitely going down that road. You need to find secondary scoring. And, you know, the Wings are unique in one way. And even when Babcock was here, other than maybe one or two players, has there ever been a top six really designated here in Detroit the last 4 or 5 years? Not really, right? I mean,
they have, but it's not real. It's in their fantasies. Abdelkader, Nyquist, Tatar.
But again, they changed lines so much. Even when Babcock,
Darren Helm.
Even when Babcock was here, they're never Killing really, me. other than Glenn Denning and Miller, those guys have always been bottom six. Everybody else has played top six role. And, I mean, they just keep going over. Now, see you play. I mean, Avocator. Everybody kind of gets – Shane's had that opportunity. Everybody kind of gets that, you know, we're going to roll the dice with the Lions thing. So, you know, when I was looking at it last night and seeing who was gonna jump in the lineup, I wasn't surprised with what they did because that's just who they are.
I mean, I wasn't surprised. I was just angry.
That's just
– It's. I knew it was coming, but I just can't fathom it.
That's who they are. I mean, understand, you and I have had this conversation before, and it's really hard for people around here to get their arms wrapped around. But, you know, whether you're inside the organization, whether you're outside, or whether you're Dougie McLean on doing a sports show and on NHL Network with Kiprios and the boys, everybody in hockey understands that the Red Wings talent is not there. It's just not there. From the goaltender to the other goaltender, if you take a look at our top six compared to the rest of the league's top six, you got a good chance to see Florida and San Jose play last night. Here's two teams and two opposite ends of the spectrum. Florida fires a coach. Their GM steps down, hasn't coached in 15 years. He decides he wants to stand back there. Scotty Allen is actually running it, the guy that used to be in Flint. But anyway, so, you know, and here's San Jose. You take a look at San Jose's top six. Take a look at their top three defensemen. Is any one of our defensemen fitting in their top three? No. No.
This is where I laugh.
This is where we have a...
Vanek's having a great season. He's got 14 goals, people. Brett Burns, a defenseman, has like twice that for the Sharks.
He's 6 points out of the, almost 5 points now out of the NHL lead, Brett Burns is. But, I mean, Austin Matthews has 27. Mitch Marner has 20-something. I mean, the league leader is Crosby at 30.
And we're sitting here raving about Vanek, who's got 14 goals. They tell Zetterberg is playing so great. He's got 41 points this year. I remember when he used to get 41 goals.
All right. I mean, but again, in order for you to get points, your team, And nobody wants to do this, and now we start getting the analytics of the game, right? If you want to find out who we are as an organization, who the Wings are as an organization right now, and who we are as a team right now, all you have to do is break it down statistically by the numbers. Their power play, their penalty kill, goals scored in the first period, goals scored in the second period, goals scored in the third period, goals against first, second, third, goals against average, playing minutes per player, penalty minutes per player. If you break that all down and you take a look at where we are statistically in the National Hockey League, that'll tell you who we are, and you don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. But again, that comes from personnel. And I mean, when you take a look, all you have to do is all you people at home and Donnie, if you want to take a look at the top eight teams in the National Hockey League, take a look at the top eight. I'm not going to say top five. I'm going to say top eight. And I want you to write down, in your opinion, their top six. Write every team's down top six, and then write down their top four defensemen. And then I want you to insert our Red Wings into any one of their lineups realistically.
Yeah.
Realistically.
And who plays where.
Realistically, put them, say, here's top six. Okay, this guy would fit in there. Now, don't say Dylan Larkin. Don't say Mantha. We can't say that. You're going to try and say that, but you can't. They haven't. They're not proven, and what they're doing this year doesn't warrant them filling a role of a guy that's in a top six role. That's playing with Patrick Kane. That's playing with Bergeron. That's playing with Crosby. Understand, good teams. Let's use Pittsburgh for an example. Connor Sheary playing with Sidney Crosby got called up last year. Played well because he's a top six guy. They're saying, hey, this guy's a top six guy. He has to be a top six guy. Sidney Crosby is leading the league in scoring. He's not playing with the best players in the world. He makes everybody around him better, but they allow guys to develop in the minors and say, here's your role. You're a top six guy. When we bring you up, you better be able to put the puck in that. Oh, by the way, you're going to play with Sid.
Yeah.
I mean,
and what the Red Wings would do in that situation is they'd call up Timu Polkinen and go, Timu, you got 40 goals in 30 games down in Grand Rapids. You're playing on the power play. You're on the top line. We're going to bring you up. We're going to put you on the fourth line, give you 5 minutes of playing time tonight, and send you back to the minors in 3 days because you haven't done anything for us.
Sweet. Pretty much.
And then we're going to take a guy that hasn't got a goal all season in 55 games, and we're going to put him up on the top line
and give
him
the
power play minutes.
Do you know how hard that is to do? Stuck, do you realize how hard that is to do?
We're going
to
give Matt's cousin Riley a shot on the power play.
Oh, poor Riley. I got to call Matt for this. Apologize.
I'm convinced, Stuck, before we go to our break here, and this is, you know, I went down and watched the boys play senior hockey the other night, so I'm pretty excited about, you know the guests. First time I've been around the boys in a long time. Yeah. I'm convinced right now, Stuck. I'm convinced. You gave me five shifts a period from now until the rest of the year, I could score a goal in the National Hockey League. For sure.
Oh, I can. I haven't skated in 10 years.
For
either.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, one's going to go off my butt. One's going to go off my ankle. I'm going to be in the right spot. I'm going to get
That's
dirty.
That's the difference. You know where the right spot is.
Something is going to happen where somebody's going to fire a heater at the goaltender, and the puck's just going to come to me, and eventually it's going to go in the net. And how many games do we have left? 20? I guarantee it.
I got faith in you. Yeah.
For sure. I mean, how can you not? Now, it's really
even
easy.
Two goals. Come on.
No, don't forget, there's also 5,000 people that are listening right now that think that they can play in the National Hockey League, too. So yeah. I'm not alone. I'm not alone, for sure.
I know this. I could play the remaining 26 games, and I could do exactly what he's done all year.
Wow. You'll take a pay cut too, right? I mean, heck,
and there's a lot of people listening that can do that too. Stuff.
Yeah, I'll do it for much
By
less.
By the way, I thought they'd escape the Datsyuk thing, but the Datsyuk thing has absolutely killed them this year.
Absolutely.
No Datsyuk has completely killed them this year.
From inside the room to outside the room, without a doubt.
Yeah.
All right, take a break. We'll be back.
The Dennis Stuckey Show is on. Information 1380 WPHM.
Welcome back. I have very sad news.
Oh, no.
It's sad.
Here it comes.
I'm going to put a black armband on.
Oh, no.
Our good friend, Matt Sheehan, is going to cover his last game tonight. He's going to go over to the Northern Boys basketball game, file his story, and when he is done, he's moving on.
Yeah. Tomorrow's the last day.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that.
It is. Yep.
Where do we go next?
Detroit, doing social media work. So gonna be a pretty big change. It'll be a bummer tomorrow. It's been tough. Obviously, saying bye to all the coaches I got to know up here, all the players. But yeah, excited for the next opportunity. But yeah, now this place treated me great the last two and a half years.
Now something that he keeps secrets.
Okay.
He's a very secretive person. Mm-hmm. which I cannot believe from a brethren Bishop Foley alumnus that you would keep secrets from me, but you actually have been commuting all this time. I didn't know this. I thought you were just somewhere in the area.
Yeah.
But you've actually been commuting. So where you're going to go is actually closer to home for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's a 10-minute drive from work, as opposed to this where it's an hour each way. But I mean, really with how fun it was up here, the hour drive, it wasn't too bad. I mean, it wasn't as bad as it sounds. So.
Favorite thing to cover.
Shoot. I think it's just, not even games, but just the people and their backstories. Like, just for example, the 80-year-old gentleman up here, poor Heron, who signed the one-day contract with the Tigers, just knowing his backstory, everything like that. Even bounce back from players like Kendall Keyes over at Poor Heron Northern. She had a horrible ACL injury, got to just write about her comeback to the court. She's obviously having a great year this year for Northern as well as last year. It was just finding out people. Colin Vanney is another one from Poor Heron, his cancer battle in high school, just writing about that. I mean, just people's incredible backstories. It wasn't writing about sports. It was just writing about people that happened to be in sports. So that's really, I guess, definitely the best part or the best things to cover.
It won't hit me right away, Killer, but next season in the fall, when they kick off the high school football season, there'll be a little tear coming out of my eye.
There we go.
On a Monday morning as I'm reading the scores going,
might as well.
Matt's not coming in today to talk about the games.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, that'll be a bummer. It's going to be weird on like next Tuesday going on Twitter and seeing a bunch of people like tweet about the games and be like, oh man, I'm not there. Like, it's crazy. I'm actually home at a reasonable hour. This is unbelievable. So.
Now, I guess it's easy to say, I'm going to keep following it, but then you get into life and you get into work. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you will be tempted as we're hitting playoff time, you know, especially the Northern girls. We think they're going to make a decent run here in basketball to just keep poking in and taking a look and seeing how they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even if they make it to Breslin, I mean, I might just swing on by to see them play. But yeah, I mean, if there's anyone that, you know, plays in the Metro Detroit area, it'll be tempting to go see them. If not, at the very least, just stay in touch with the coaches. Because, I mean, obviously the last 3 years, I didn't root for any teams. I didn't root for one team over another. But from here on out, I mean, any team in the Blue Water area, I mean, definitely rooting for them from here on out. So.
And then, of course, we'll be following the Grosse Pointe South hockey team.
Absolutely.
They Mercy Brother Rice.
Oh, yeah. Mercy.
Boom.
There'll be Mercy going on that night. That's for sure.
Don't even bring the Zamboni out.
There'll be a Mercy going on. No, you know, the thing about being in sports, in high school sports, in pro sports, amateur sports with golf and whatnot, you know, you as an athlete, you really do get appreciation for who you guys are as media and your representation and what you mean for the area and whatnot. So, you know, this area has seen a lot of guys come and go over the last 5 or 6 years. Some have gone on to some good things. Some of them have left. You know, good old Rick Chikaki is the athletic director up at Croswell. Tony Paul's doing some good stuff.
Oh, yeah, great stuff.
What he's doing. And,
yeah.
You know, but from an athlete standpoint, from a guy who's worn every hat from the pro side to the amateur side to the coach's side and whatnot, just know that we really appreciate who you guys are and what you do for our kids and what you do for sports in general. So from everybody that's ever sat down across from you, and I have several times, thank you for what you've done, and I wish you all the best in the future.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
You may or may not have a fan.
Oh, man.
We're going to find out right now.
Hi, who's this?
Hey, Stutz Killer.
Here we go. I'm ready.
You better be, baby.
I'm ready.
Hey, Matt, I just want to say good luck with what you do, buddy. You've done a good job since you've been here. Hey, we're going to miss you. You were great with football. I enjoyed it. So I wish you the best.
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah, I really do appreciate that.
And I'm sure the area echoes my thoughts. Now, Bobby, now you keep saying that the Wings are going to have this change of guard. Well, what kind of a change of guard? Because you've been calling for it for 2 years and nothing's happened. I wonder what are you assuming to? Because, you know, you look at this team you know, Toronto is what? They're 3-5-2. Okay. I'm not sure they can make the playoffs. And let's make one thing clear. Babcock went to Toronto for the money. There was no wanting to turn a franchise around. It was all the money, I feel. Okay. You know, I know Mitch Warner.
Let me know when you're done.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I know, you know I'm fair. That's one thing you can't
That's
say.
Right. That's why I'm listening.
I always try to be fair.
I'm going
to
listen.
Auston Matthews has had a great year. He took an American kid to turn that franchise around. But, you know, I think Cadre has played better than anybody over there. You know, he's an antagonizer. That's just my opinion. I think that he's played great hockey. But I think when you say a guy's like Anthea Mantha, okay, Dylan Larkin, okay, can't turn us around. I disagree. I think we're deeper on the talent level than you're giving us credit for. I really do. And you know and I know that one season of good draft picks, say this year, if we could get something at the trade deadline with these veteran players and do something in the draft, who knows if you've got a couple of more good hockey players, you know, and our goaltending came around a little bit. So I don't think they're that far off the mark like other people do. That's just my opinion, and I've watched a lot of hockey. You go ahead, Bob.
Okay, so we're done? Okay, first things first. I'll go in order. Mike Babcock is from Canada. Mm-hmm. Mike Babcock said this is Canada's franchise. Mike Babcock went to Toronto for one reason. He's won Stanley Cups. He's won gold medals at the Olympics. He went to Canada, to the Toronto Maple Leafs, to be an absolute hero in his native land and turn around Canada's franchise, and they paid him $5 million to do it. So he didn't go there because they were giving him $5 million. They paid him $5
million.
He got
$50 million. You missed some numbers.
You get $5 million a year.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He's $2 million higher than the second highest paid coach in Joel Quenneville of Chicago. So they paid him, they thought of him that way in order to give him that kind of money, but he definitely went there to turn that franchise around. Okay, Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. Who are they playing with? Do you even know who they play with? Do you even know who's on Auston Matthews, who has 27 goals, who's on his line, who he's played with most of the year?
No, I don't watch Toronto that much, I'll be honest with you.
Okay. Well, okay, hang on. Okay, so you don't.
No,
he's played on the third line.
I don't specifically watch them.
Okay, so he's played on the third line.
Okay.
Okay, he's played with two guys you wouldn't even know, and he's got the numbers that he has. Mitch Marner has played on a little bit sexier of a line, and he has numbers that are far and beyond Anathisiou, Larkin, and Mantha. Anthony Mantha is going to be a superstar here in Detroit. He needs players around him to be that superstar. He is not going to carry the load. Larkin is not going to carry the load. Okay, they're not. Tatar, Nyquist are not going to carry the load. That's just who they are. So was Jari Kurri going to score as many points as he did without Wayne Gretzky? No. But was Jari Kurri going to score an abundance of points? Absolutely.
Yeah.
These guys aren't those guys. Right. Mitch Marner is... Mitch Marner is, Matthews is, all these other young rookies, Tarasenko, all these guys have been playing for a couple years. Those guys are pure goal scorers. Mantha's the closest thing to a pure goal scorer that Detroit has, and he is going to be a superstar. But they need to surround him with proven veteran, not only hockey players, but leadership in the room. We need to go in a totally different direction. My philosophy in the game is really simple, and championships start and end with how many goals you let in, not how many goals you score. So if you're good on the back end in the pipes and you're good defensively and your power play and your penalty kill add up to 105, meaning are you at 85% on your penalty kill and you're up around 20% in your power play? I mean, you have to be around 105. It's the only way. Special teams and goaltending and defense. Okay, if that's who we are, this is why we are where we're at. Don't even talk about Larkin, Mantha, Anathisiou, Tatar struggling, Nyquist struggling. Don't even talk about any of that, because guess what? There's 11 other guys that we haven't even mentioned. Well, the reason why we're not mentioning them, because they're nothing. They do nothing. When you're superstars, aren't your best players every single day? You need to start talking about Sheahan, Miller, Glendening. Okay. Do we need to talk any further? They're doing nothing. Their job is to do nothing. Their job is to provide quality minutes so your goal scorers, your Tatar, your Nyquist, your Larkin, your Mantha, your Anathisiou, your you're Vanek, you're Nielsen. Those guys go out there and win you hockey games.
Hey, Bobby, but you got to give credit. Now, you're not going to tell me that Glenn Denning doesn't have a good purpose on Detroit eating pucks every night for
listen,
everybody.
Listen, Glenn Denning, I would start every single NHL team with Glenn Denning. But remember, I'm now asking Glenn Denning to put the puck in the net because my guys who are supposed to put the puck in the net aren't doing it. So if that's the case, and I'm the GM or the owner or anybody who's in charge of player personnel, I get my stick of dynamite, I attach it to my nice little hot rods, I pull up the thing, and I blow the whole thing up. Right from day one. I don't care who I have to trade. I don't care what I have to do. I start from scratch. Am I protecting guys? Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm protecting Mantha. I'm protecting AA. I'm protecting Glenn Denning. I'm protecting the core. I'm protecting Larkin. Yes, I'm protecting those guys. Everybody else, it's a fire sale.
Right. Well, so we don't really disagree on much other than that. I mean, I'm saying we're closer than people think. You know, with the right
Donnie, we're 5 years away from getting back even to being in the conversation of having a Stanley Cup.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, Toronto came in. You're saying that Toronto made this big turnaround, but I beg to differ. They haven't made the playoffs yet, right? Do we agree on that?
They're closer to it than
the
Wings.
Make the playoffs.
They have. Okay, here's the difference between Toronto and Detroit at this point. Toronto has a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, and Toronto has a chance because of one thing. They saw this coming. They weren't sitting here at a radio show 5 months ago talking to people that thought that the Red Wings had an actual shot at doing something when they started 6-1. They said, I don't care who we are. We got to get rid of Phaneuf. We got to get rid of Kessel. Joffe Lupo can go away. Eventually, JVR is going to, Van Riemsdyk is going to go away. And we're gonna implode ourselves, and we're going to start from the ground up. And we're going to do it through the draft. Not Europeans. We're going to have some North American kids come in here and play some hockey.
You have to admit, Donnie, if you look at the numbers, the Wings had Phil Kessel, and Phil Kessel was doing in Detroit what he did in Toronto all those years. Phil Kessel would still be in Detroit. There's no way they would have traded him. And that's the kind of moves that need to be done if the Red Wings are going to get better. They have to look at it, and they have to go, Nyquist has got to go. Tatar's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to say goodbye to Zetterberg.
If somebody wants to take him with what, and again, you put Zetterberg on a really good hockey team, on a Pittsburgh Penguins, on a Chicago Lightning, he would be unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's a great leader. There's a whole so many things about Z that are awesome. Just with who we are, we just can't go down this road. Keep going, Donnie.
What I was trying to say, Bob, I think that Zetterberg is an awesome captain, and knowing Detroit like I know him, and you know it, I would say they're not going to get rid of him no matter what the offer would be. He's the captain, and I just don't think they're going to move him at all.
Only if he would agree to it, correct?
Right. Now, I would say the New York Rangers would be a spot that I would. I mean, if I were the Rangers, I think he'd be very attractive on that hockey club.
Okay. Well,
and he's hard to get the puck from. You know that, Bob. When he's going behind the net, it's almost impossible to take the puck from him.
Okay. So you and I'll have a quick little conversation because we got to go to break here. But here, real quick, and this will answer every question for yourself and for me included. So you are an NHL general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you taking from the Detroit Red Wings roster today? Name five guys on our team that you're taking today.
Okay, that I would want or I can get?
That you want.
Okay, I would take, if I were looking for a Stanley Cup, right, Zetterberg would be on my list. Vanek would definitely be on my list. I think, I know with only the 14 goals, but I'm telling you, put in the right situation, he would, of course you're going to want all the young players, but I'm not going to ask stupid things because you're not going to give up Mantha and Lark and all those guys. I would take a Mike Green, okay? I would take AA. I would make a nice offer. I think the speed factor and all he can do, you know, not saying Detroit would do that, but he would be on my list. There's three guys. I would take a Mike Green, okay?
Okay.
I mean, for defense, I know a lot of people say things, but I think he's good lateral, and I like his game. I just like him as a guy, you know, a player.
Okay.
There's four.
Okay.
Let's leave it at
four.
Okay. You got
there isn't
it.
One general manager in the National Hockey League calling about any of the guys you called that you mentioned, except for Anthony Anastasiou. Every single general manager in the National Hockey League wants Larkin, wants AA, wants Mantha, and up until recently wanted a piece of Mrazek. That's all they're calling about.
I mentioned AA.
That, but that's what I'm saying. You, Killer. Other than the guy you mentioned, Double A.
Yeah.
All the dude, there's not a general manager. It, every one of them that are for calling Vanek? The wings, that's who they're talking about. They're core guys. They, we don't have anybody to give away. We
no,
don't.
No,
we can't.
Not in the core. But I'm saying, what about a Vanek? You can't tell me there's not calls on Vanek.
For what?
Yeah.
Well, a face-off in our zone.
Vanek has been Killer, I was watching the Hot Stove League, and they claim that they're getting all kinds of calls on Vanek. We'll see at the trade deadline if they're true.
If I'm giving Vanek away at this point, it has to be for something of
second
value.
Round?
And
yeah.
value to me at this point is a very high draft pick mm-hmm. or a quality veteran player. That I'm talking a 50-point guy, a plus-25 guy a year, and a mid-round draft pick. That's the only thing I'm doing. I'm not giving Vanek away for a fifth-rounder. Which is what Detroit's going to do.
Me and Stuck have been talking about that, and we said a second-round pick would be sufficient.
Yeah.
You know. No, okay, I won't take any more of your time. Hey, I appreciate the talk here,
always
guys.
Good to talk to you, Donnie.
Thanks, yeah, Donnie.
Hey, it's always good to hear your voice, Killer. Hey, if we disagree, so what? We're still buddies.
We always will be.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, go Leafs, go.
All right. The thing I'm going to say about draft picks will only work at Detroit if Ken Holland is gone, and I'm going to tell you why. Our first pick in this summer's draft, Chulowski or whatever,
uh-huh.
It's going to be 7 years before you see him play a game in Detroit.
Boy, I hope you're wrong.
He's St. Cloud or wherever he is right now.
Yep.
That's 4 years.
I hope you're wrong.
Then he's going to go to Grand Rapids.
Track record says.
He's a defenseman.
Track record says.
He's going to Grand Rapids for two full seasons
before he gets
a call-up.
Track record says yes.
And then it's probably 2 years before he's a regular. So now you're looking at
I hope you're
9 years before he's an everyday player
I hope you're
on
wrong.
Your blue line.
And you're watching now, which is why you're saying this, you're watching now teenagers, Laine, Matthews, Marner,
Chychrun,
how does he played in Sarnia. How do you not know? I mean, I saw this kid play five times. How do you not know that this kid is going to be NHL ready? Big boy, his dad played in the National Hockey League. He's got the pedigree. He's all he's ever talked about. Anyway, I can go on forever. Yes, Chychrun. Teenagers are playing every day in the National Hockey League.
All right. So our segment was about Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey,
Matt.
Hey, no.
Donnie went elsewhere.
No, that's okay. I don't need any more time.
I've got to get caught up on commercials here, but we'll be back. Don't go away. It's fun today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
I've got all the kids in the studio, and I got to reach around and threaten to stop the car.
Are we eating soon?
Are we there yet?
Are we eating soon?
We will be back, so don't go away.
Yeah, Bobby keeps hitting me.
Solving the problems of the universe in a two-hour program.
What we do? Typical stuff.
They're all getting solved off the air though, Stuck. That's the best part. We have our best conversations. We should have like those.
We couldn't have that last conversation on the air. Not because there was anything vulgar like that.
Right. Oh, you're right.
Just
yeah.
We can't give that away for free though. You got to pay for it.
The politics.
Certain truths.
Yeah, just can't
be
said.
Kept secret.
Right.
Or charged for. You know. This is free. No.
Kind of like Where's Jimmy Hoffa?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, we know. Yeah.
We can know, but we can't tell you.
Right. Because we all know.
We know who got Kennedy, but we can't tell you.
Yeah, we're not letting you know.
No. We know if there's aliens in Area 54, but if you knew.
51.
Whatever.
Yeah.
See, we're
keeping. Is there a 54 too?
I don't know.
We're keeping it such a secret, we're not even letting you know that it's really 51.
Yeah. We're going really deep. Sure. Oh, man.
We're going to make up our own areas.
That's right. Bobby McKillop is here. Matt Sheehan is here.
Yeah.
And then Matt will be leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
Leaving on a jet plane. Well, not.
No. Yeah, I have scrambled a jet tomorrow. It's great. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Runway is right on Military Drive and Military Street, and it's going to be wild.
Then you're going to do a flyby?
You know it.
You're doing a flyby? Yeah. Like the Super Bowl and stuff like
very
that?
Very patriotic. Yeah, that's right. You know, my patriotism is going to go way down when I leave this job, because I'm not going to hear the national anthem four times a week when I go to these high school games.
You know that.
I mean, I don't even know my nationality starting next week. It's unbelievable. I'm used to hearing that song.
You and I are on the same page.
So many times. Yeah.
You and I are on the same page.
It's crazy. I was staring there at the wrestling meet. I'm like, wow, I'm not going to hear the song as much.
So in the true spirit of that, because I've obviously have been in this situation several times myself. Mm-hmm. So I want you to tell me, give me your best national anthem story, because you have to have one.
Oh, best national anthem story. Oh, shoot. What was it? I think it was out of high school. They started playing the song by Lil Wayne for about 30 seconds.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Before the anthem started. And then they just said,
I've been
you
there
know
where that's happened.
No, we're just not going to play the anthem. Just play. Just go out there. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
if for all you people at home have never been to high school sports, understand...
Yeah.
In the world of hockey, for sure, and I'm not sure about all the other ones, but the people that are running this are actually volunteers, parents.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, so they're putting together, I have these conversations all the time at my home rink. Are we doing a national anthem tonight? Yep. You guys have the tape? I'm not in charge of the tape, but
yeah.
I mean, you guys have it somewhere. So it is a script. My job is not to. Okay, so people are coordinating that, getting this stuff together. The stuff I have seen over my 14 years in high school hockey has been unbelievable. Right from the student that comes in to sing, that's practiced for easily 5, 6, 7 days, and then all of a sudden in front of the 250 people with their feet freezing on the ice, can't remember one word. And players have to sing it for her, or the stands sing it for her, to somebody thinking this is the CD for the anthem, and it turns out to be Lil Wayne or whatever. Right. I mean, and it's just, but I knew you'd have a story, so
it happened actually to me this year at a Northern girls game, and they had, I don't know if she was on the freshman team or the JV, but she was up there, and her job was to cue it up. I was 10 feet away from this girl. She had it queued up. I heard it. I heard, oh, say, can you see? It was queued up. It was ready to go. And she hit play, and something else played.
That's what I was talking about. That was the moment.
And they stopped it, and she did it, and she tested it, and it was the national anthem. And she hit play, and something else started playing.
That's awesome. That's somebody messing with her.
And after about three or four tries, they're down on the court going, never mind, don't bother, we're just going to start playing.
We got it. Yeah. God bless America, we're fine. Yeah, we got this.
Yeah. Well, I've been involved. And you know, as a player, when you're standing on the blue line or you're standing on the bench in front of, you know, 3 to 8, 10,000 people, and they say, okay, please stand, take off your hats for the national anthem, whatnot, you're standing there, and if there's silence, it is the most awkward 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds, that, right?
I mean, it feels like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you're literally like,
right?
Okay, what is happening? So, but at the high school level, it's even worse because these kids, I think, silence for 2 seconds, and all of a sudden, my whole bench is going, "What are we doing?
Yeah, like, well, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going? What's
are,
going?
Are we even playing tonight?"
And then all of a sudden, you hear, and the referees are standing. Referees in high school hockey stand right beside the penalty box, right where the music's supposedly playing, other than at McMoran, it's way up top. Usually that's at all these rinks, like a Glacier Point or whatever. So you hear them go, yeah, let's just cut this, and then away we go. But it's just unique. It's one of the unique things about sports is the national anthem. And obviously you've seen over the years in pro sports all the good ones and the bad ones. But yeah, I thought you'd have a story, but yeah. So real quick, you're going to do social media.
Yeah, social media. Yep.
So, can you expand on that?
For sure. It's going to be in the automotive industry. I'm not sure how much further I can go, but I'm going to be doing like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah, I am.
You went to school for communications. You're actually using your degree. Is that what you're doing?
Well, I went to school for journalism, but through that, I got into social media. Like I had an internship with the Palace after I graduated, and that was with their social media team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really liked it. I was really all into it. Then I got a full-time job up here. This is my first full-time job. Just really looking at it, just really where I want to go with my career. It just makes sense to go back to social
media.
He does
tweet like nobody's
business. You are leaving the sports industry?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe later down the line I'll freelance, you know, make some side money that way or just do something. But so...
Host the Dennis Stuckey Show in the summer. Lengthy vacations.
Absolutely. You want to go on that month-long cruise, Dennis? I'm here for you.
There you go. I'm locking him in on that.
This is not in writing, by the way.
You heard.
I heard it here first.
Uh-oh.
No, that's it. That's interesting. Well, good for you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
that.
And
where are you based out of?
Troy. And for now, the office is in Troy. But
you've been making the trek down Metro Parkway to 94 this whole entire time?
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yep, wow. 63 minutes.
Wow.
So, yeah. Podcasts have kept me sane. Luckily, I'm driving at odd hours. Like, I'll get to work at 2 and I'll leave at 10. So I'm dodging rush hour.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah, for sure.
Is there any way you can pop into Somerset there in Troy and talk to them about their their prices, because unfortunately I have a 16-year-old that thinks that that's one of the coolest places in the world, and it costs $14 to park there, yet alone. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Doesn't end. Yeah. No, it doesn't end because my wife as well. Yeah. My office is right next to Somerset, though, is where I'll be working. So I'll put in a good word
just,
for you.
Just walk over and say, hey, you know, a good buddy of mine up in Port Huron has a little bit of complaint, and it's, can we do something about that?
And I second him, too. Yeah, that's, for sure. I won't even deal with the south side of Somerset either. That's.
I mean, they're hot. They're hot dog. They're hot dogs, and their food court food rivals any professional sports building in America.
Yeah,
with their prices.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, can I have? You know what? I'll have that small little hot dog there and a Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be $16.75. Sure, what movie am I seeing?
Take out a mortgage. Yeah.
What movie am I seeing? Am I getting a movie ticket too?
Right.
But no. Okay. Good for you. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then So yeah, they're in Troy for now, and then in a month or two they're moving to downtown Detroit. So that'll be really cool too. I'm definitely excited about that.
Love downtown Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Definitely looking forward to it.
I'm telling you, for people that have not had an opportunity to go down there, not just to see sports, but if you go down there to a Red Wing game or you go down there to a Tigers game or Lions game, okay, that people are afraid of downtown Detroit. Downtown Detroit, there are some unbelievable places, great places to eat, great places to hang out. It is.
Go to Mercury. Have you been to Mercury Burger?
No.
It's over by where Tiger Stadium used to be.
Right.
Or in that vicinity. It's on Michigan, near Trumbull.
Okay.
But Mercury Burger.
Okay.
They got authentic poutine.
Oh, poutine. Oh, hello.
So. Poutine. Poutine.
But yeah. It's when you go down the street, you're like, I'm not eating here. You're crazy,
by the way,
Stucky.
By the way,
and then you pull up and you go inside and you eat, and you're like, I'm coming back here.
Changed your life.
Often as I can.
Listen, people like Brian Bowman have introduced me to a couple, you know, this barbecue place, whatever. People introduce me to new places all the time. I take people down there and they're like, hey, have you ever been here? They're the ones that have got me into this. Wow, you know, I really didn't realize the stuff that's down there. I'll go down there to practice or game or whatever. And, we got to go here. We got to go there. So puts in. For all you people at home, is French fries with gravy and unbelievable
cheese curds
it's that
like
are
health
just,
in a bowl.
Oh my! Yeah, it's one of the most healthiest foods you can eat.
Yeah, it's like right up there with Cheerios. I think. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think
I lived on it for a week in Quebec.
Oh yeah, of course you did.
Best week of your life, or
absolutely.
That's the only thing I knew how to pronounce.
Yeah. I mean, you got to look at it, Matt. You got to look at it this way, though. Yeah. If you're trying to eat 3,500 calories a day, then you've wiped it out and then some in one setting.
Yeah.
So I mean, you don't have to waste time eating the rest of the
seriously.
Day.
Yeah, that's just efficiency. That's what it is. Yeah,
purely being efficient.
Right. Being smart with your time.
No, it's So you're going to be hanging out downtown. That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, it'll be tough to leave, but yeah, definitely.
Well, you're not ever going to leave. You're a sports guy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know it.
Yeah, our phone will be ringing. You'll be our new Donnie.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be the Michigan State University version of Donnie. How about that? There we go. Or Tigers. I'll branch out.
And I'm assuming that this is live stream. Is this live streamed? I mean,
yeah.
So it's the only way, because as I drive down to my practice,
I
listen to Stuck every single day until I get to a certain point, usually just before 26 mile, and then there's no more Stuck.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
There's no more Stuck.
That's a sad mile.
Yeah, he's social medializing, so he's going to be listening. Anyway.
He's going to be listening to you every single day. So,
you know it.
Put the little,
I try and,
the
I,
little window with WPHM.net.
Yeah, I try and listen every day. And there's some really good topics going on, and I'm actually, I think sometimes I
pull over in the rest area just so I can hear it finish.
Yeah, there we go. Wow.
I mean, I'm like,
boom.
Oh, I got 15 minutes. I'm going to listen to this finish. And then I get on my way and I have a little sad tear as I get past there. And Dennis's voice gets cracklier. And
the days get sad.
Yeah, it's just, you know, my sad face.
But he's got the whole rest of the day to think, he said Carter Hutton's mom doesn't even know who he is.
Right. Yeah.
Who
did you just say his name was? Who was
Carter Hutton.
Yeah.
25 saves. Eighth time the Wings have been shut out.
And how many games has Carter Hutton played this year? Do you know?
I don't know
either.
Not 25.
Right.
Full disclosure, that's the first I've ever heard that name.
There, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this guy like backed up in Nashville too once?
Yes.
Because I think I remember him like 4 or 5 years ago beating the Red Wings.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, yeah, Rennie's not playing. Oh, the backup goalie I never heard of just beat us.
Yeah, I do remember that.
You know, and again, you know, you're taking a look at a first-place team, the Montreal Canadiens, making a coaching change, and then you're taking a look at St. Louis getting rid of Hitch and bringing in a guy that, you know, didn't have much success in Montreal and Yo or whatever you want to call him. But, I mean, yep. I don't know.
It's all that can be said.
I just
no.
I just don't know.
We'll take another break here, but we'll be back with more. So don't go away. It's the Dennis Stucky Show. We're having fun solving the world's problems here on WPHM.
Back to more Dennis Stucky on Information 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. Sorry. We should tell that story.
It's a good one.
I think we'd be safe too, because they probably don't listen.
What you people at home don't understand is every time we leave our on air segment, it leads into something else in relating to stories. So we're talking about, you know, trades and who's getting traded and stuff that's happened. And I look over at Maddie, who's leaving the sports room. I said, I could tell you some stories that you just wouldn't believe about guys. So we start talking about the time Chris Skrlatus, who was a great player here in Port Huron, a tough guy back in the 90s. Great teammate, great leader, great guy to be around. And was he married at the time?
They were married.
Okay, so he's married to another Boston girl, and she had a little bit of fire to her, and she didn't like being left alone. And of course, we used to have the radio show that we used to have to go down to on Monday nights. So Stucky would have us down there at the Hack. Back in the day, the Hack was just pumping. And so Monday nights, you know, we'd play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever. But anyway, so Monday was the coach's show. Well, sure enough, Finner, John Finstrom, another good hockey player here, myself and Blummer sitting up at the apartments there in good old Gulf Harbor back in 1996. And we got, you know what, Tisha, Skrlatus's wife, is home alone right now. And she didn't like being home alone. So Finner thought it'd be a great idea if we got some fishing line, attached it up to the back of the porch where the sliding doors were, and attach it to the top, and then be able to pull this fishing line from 200 feet away in the bushes. And she'd just hear tap, 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 get all scared. We knew she would call the Dennis Stuckey, Port Huron Border Cat, Chris Skrlatus live player on the air and say, "You need to come home." Sure enough, it happened. The police were called, and John Finstrom was chased around for the next 3 days of practice by Skittles. But anyway, just more stories that people wouldn't believe. And I can imagine that the Port Huron Prowlers have about 25 of those stories as well.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know,
yeah,
going around their apartments and whatnot. But there's lots of stuff that
yeah.
we can't tell, but that one we can tell.
There's lots of things that go on that yeah. that just people probably didn't know about.
Here we go.
Well, like some of them aren't so bad. Some of them are. When Bill Warren was coaching the Fighting Falcons, there was a ping pong table in the middle of the locker
room. Yes, I saw that.
Sweet. And he thought it was a good team bonding thing, and they had a tournament that like went all season long and then culminated with the championship, and then, you know, you had double elimination or whatever it was, and they played ping pong up there.
A lot of sports teams have rooms like that. The Firebirds and their in the Ontario Hockey League, in their video room, which is a small theater, has leather seats. I mean, Ralph Nielsen did an unbelievable job renovating the former IMA. And they have a PlayStation in there. So they can play as themselves. The Flint Firebirds can play as themselves, and they play themselves against themselves. So they'll play Flint Firebirds against Flint Firebirds.
That's all I would do, yeah.
And I guess last year they had 11 or 12 guys that were on the ice every morning from 9 till noon, and they didn't practice as a team, and they just did skill stuff because they weren't going to school. So here, I would have loved to be one of those guys because me and Blummer and a couple guys here in town have our own NHL league and stuff in this PlayStation. I know. Just let it go. It is the real thing. Let's not talk about it anymore. So I would have loved to be one of those guys because every day they have to sit there for 3.5-4 hours for the other guys to get there so they can practice. So what are they doing? They're having tournament after tournament in these great little leather seats. So a lot of sports rooms have stuff like ping pong tables, like Xboxes, like whatever, so that they can kind of wind down. Because, at the NHL level, at the NFL level, at the NBA level, you're there a lot. I mean, that's your home away from home. You have a workout facility there, and it ends up being literally, you know, an 8 or 9 hour process. Well, you put an Xbox or a PlayStation in one of those rooms with us back in the day, I mean, just give me some instant soup, and I would have been there 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Sean Burr.
Good old Burzy.
Sean Burr was a prankster.
Oh, boy.
He did it all through his NHL career.
Oh, boy.
With the Wings.
And known throughout the league as being a prankster.
And he was buddies with Larry Kinney. So when the Ice Hawks came in the first year, Sean was around a lot for training camp. He would skate with the guys. And Stan let him work with him on the power play and stuff like that. And we had a goalie, Marty Majors, was here that year. And something happened. So Burzy was going to get Marty Majors.
Oh, here we go.
So they're out on the ice during practice, and Burzy, got a burr on my skate or whatever. Got to go up to the room, get the guy. He's up there. He took Marty's pants and put them in the Gatorade jug.
Nice.
with Gatorade in it.
You mean
and not like clear Gatorade, like you mean, the yellow.
You mean the pants that he wore to practice that day that are hanging in his
stall. Okay. He puts them in the Gatorade jug. Doesn't check the pockets or anything, so the phone goes in, the wallet goes in.
Someone's getting whooped. Yeah.
Everything goes in.
And you gotta remember, when you make that prank at the National Hockey League level, it's a $350 prank with a guy that's making $1.5 million.
Yeah.
You make that prank at the minor league level, that $350 is $350,000.
I was going to say, yeah. So, right.
I mean, I could only imagine. Magnified. You know, but you know, Berzy was and always will be known for eternity as one of the ultimate pranksters of all time, whether it's at the golf course with the buddies at St. Clair that he used to play with. Anytime Sean Burr walked into the room and there was a conversation going on, it immediately stopped because Berzy was controlling the room. The very second he walked in the room, his mouth, I don't know, he never stopped talking. He had always had something to say. He had an opinion on everything, and you needed to be very well aware to be on your toes, because if you started talking when Berzy was around, if you had an opinion, you better be able to back it up with 14 different reasons why research, you feel that way, because it's kind of, oh, really? Really? What about this? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say anything. But so, no, he was one of the greatest guys, a prankster, and you know, he was fun to be around.
Well, Marty wanted revenge, and I don't know if he ever pulled it off, because I think actually it got to the point where Stan stepped in and just stop the whole thing. But Marty knew about cars.
Oh, boy.
And they had devised a plan. They were going to, the next time that Berzy was at the place, they were going to get all four of his tires off his car and leave his car out in the parking lot, you know,
on the blocks
with no tires. And they were going to roll the tires, like, out onto the ice for practice and, like, use them instead of the pylons.
Well,
that's funny.
You think it's funny? John Finstrom was the same guy. John Finstrom was a car guy, and Finner went down in practice when we were playing with a guy by the name of Darren Banks, a former NHL heavyweight who found his way down with us, and he was a great guy, and he was a big boy, 6'5", and he played a little bit here in Port Huron. But anyway, so John Finstrom, a car buff, a motorcycle enthusiast, was just one of those guys, you know, the grease monkey, I guess you'd call him, but he knew everything about anything. So he went down in practice, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, he's hurt. He's rolling around on the ground. He's pulled his hamstring. He's got a knee problem. And we trainer carries him off and whatnot, and I come off after practice, and he's in the hot tub. He's in the tub. He's getting, oh, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. All right, that's fine. And, you know, we're all giggling. We're all talking about what we're going to do. We're going to go to Frank's place. We're going to go here for lunch or whatever. You know, I was always one of the last guys to leave. I love hanging around the locker room. I was always one of the last guys to leave, so – you know, four or five guys are gone, and Banksy's like, all right, boy, I'll meet you back in the apartments, whatever. And Banksy comes in. I'll never forget it. He comes walking back in the locker room about 6 minutes after he left. He's like, where's Finner? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, where is Finner? So I'm like, he's in the hot tub. He rolls back there. No Finner in the hot tub.
Oh.
Where's Finner? Finner disappeared. Why did Finner disappear? Because Finner put Banksy's car up on blocks. Banksy was all over him on the road trip, and he was just carving him. And Banksy was a great at one-liners. He just was carving Finner, and Finner just kept looking at him going, keep it coming, keep it coming. So he put his tires in his trunk and left the rink. So Banksy had no idea where his tires were, had no idea. He had a big old truck. He had no idea where his stuff was. He had no idea where anything was. Jeez. And he's trying to get a hold of Finner. This is back before cell phones. This is the early 90s.
Oh, wow.
He couldn't get a hold of Finner. There's no way he could get a hold of him. I didn't know. And I'm out there with Banksy. What do you want me to tell you? I have nothing to do with this. Please, look at me right now. You know I have nothing to do with this, right? Please don't hurt me.
We're talking about a very big man.
Please don't hurt me, Banksy. But, yeah, I mean, stuff like that would happen all the time. And, you know, the legendary stuff in the skate, cutting guys' ties. I mean, it's... When you're in an environment like that, you got 22 little kids running around every single day. It doesn't matter how old we were. I mean, Brian Dobbin was a veteran guy that was in his 30s when I played here with him in Port Huron. Still a good hockey player. And he just used to giggle at the stuff that was going on. But then he would partake in the reindeer games as well. So it was stuff just happens.
Yeah.
Just kind of happens.
That just sounds awesome, though. I mean, that's just to create that bond and just be able to mess with each other like that. As long as you don't get killed by taking some guy's tires off the car.
Well, yeah.
You got a lot of gusto to do with someone that big.
we've been pretty fortunate. Although I do remember walking in a couple of times and seeing something break out at practice.
Well, you got to understand, there was stuff going on all the time where guys would get heated and stuff that happened over the weekend.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, Curtis Saylor was, he was awesome to go on a road trip with, because you knew if you happened to get the cards that day, he was the ATM for the weekend. I mean, one of us at the table was going to have an extra $400 or $500 meal money.
Yeah.
And Curtis had no problem going, "Oh man, you guys just, I never get cards." Well, it's okay. Keep Curtis, you ready? Let's play some more. But and stuff kind of happens. But the one thing you knew, just like if you were with your brothers, right? Mm-hmm. As you were doing whatever, you knew, okay, I am opening up Pandora's box here, and I just need to accept whatever's coming my way, yeah. And you're just hoping that it's not going to be too bad. But you knew, Finner knew the retaliation was coming, and I can't talk about what the retaliation was, but that's just the life. And it happens at every level. It happens at the National Hockey League level. It happens at every level. You're a family that's running around for 6 months, and these are your brothers, and yeah. Well, brothers have some fun.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's good times.
Without a doubt.
It's good times. Yeah. Mike Zanzarella.
Oh boy.
Always had pet names for the boys.
Yeah, he sure did.
Some of them very inappropriate.
Yeah, he sure did.
He loved the goalies. Owen McInerney.
Oh my
He always
God.
Used to get on Owen, call him Fat and Ernie.
Oh my God.
Flattering.
Stu Dunn was Stu Tard.
No, that's nice.
And we've told this story on the air before, but here's one for you. We're playing in Quad City, and Kevin Butt was our goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
And Buttsy was a hunter. And we didn't have a very good night, and they rang the bell in Quad City 6 or 7 times, and every time they scored a goal in Quad City with 10,000 people there, Quad City Mallard goal. Before that happens, they rang a bell, and the bell was the loudest bell. Your ears, the whole place would shake. It had depth to it. It had bass to it. It was ding, ding. So they'd ring it that. So we've heard it 7, 6, 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
So the first 25 minutes of the bus ride is very quiet. Dave Cameron, who went on to coach with the Ottawa Senators, now the assistant coach with the Calgary Flames, coached here in Port Huron, one of the legends that ended up walking through here. Dougie Crossman, an NHL legend for years, was a head coach here. Johnny Blum. So many great coaches have been here anyway. So Dave Cameron, who was a very intense guy, and if mm-hmm. you played for him, you had to play with your heart on your sleeve, and you had to play. I love playing for him. He was a guy that demanded a lot out of you, and he got a lot out of you. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's an emotional guy. So we just knew that we're not talking. You know, you get your food on the bus and everyone's kind of silently going about their business. Well, Buttsy sat like 3 rows behind Cam. And Buttsy decides he wants to show people on the bus around his seat his hunting pictures. So Cam can hear this up front. And he, all of a sudden, the bus is kind of, we're maybe an hour into the trip. And Cam stands up and he looks at Buttsy and goes, "Hey, Buttsy. You got a picture of you stopping a puck?"
Oh, that's nice.
I'd love to see that one. And I can literally remember sitting at the back of the bus going, "Oh, no."
Here's the problem. I sat between the two of them. I'm
the hostage negotiator.
Cameron sat in the first seat. Kevin Devine sat in the second seat, our assistant coach.
Yeah, great guy.
I sat behind Kevin and Buttsy sat behind me.
So Buttsy's quietly going, yeah, I got this 8-point, and yeah, you look at this one, and you know Cam's up there just, stewing
right,
already,
yeah.
And he's
right.
Listening probably for 4 or 5 minutes, but when he stood up, and he literally stood up, and he talked with a Cecil accent, "Hey, Buttsy." Buttsy looks at him, and I'm sitting in the very back of the bus. We're not playing cards, we're not doing anything. We're whispering back there, and I'm like, "Where is this going to go?
Nowhere
you
good.
Got a picture of you stopping a puck? I'd love to see that one." Oh, man.
What was the fallout of that? Did Buttsy just not talk? Or
the rest,
what was it?
Put it this way. Every light, usually, okay, so you have lights over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Every light went off immediately. Boop, boop, you see all these fingers going. Boop, 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 boop. There's no movies. We weren't allowed to watch movies on the way home from that one.
Gotcha.
I thought we were going to be putting our gear on at 4 in the morning, which has happened several times, uh-huh. where we got home at 6 o'clock, and he went in and said, "We're going on the ice right now, and put your stuff. Don't hang it up. Put it on."
Gotcha.
So I assumed that was coming. Cam thought better of it. Thank you for that. But I do remember the Monday practice. There was a garbage can in the middle of the ice, and we skated with no pucks for 45 minutes with the instructions: if you're going to throw up in this garbage can.
You don't want to see the garbage. I don't know a lot about hockey. I know that you don't want to see a garbage can at practice. So when during hockey practice,
yeah, it was right out in the middle and whatnot. But yeah, I mean stuff like that. Yeah, that was a fun day too, Stock.
Yeah. Speaking of skates with no pucks, we had a bad flags team the 1 year. And this is Paul Willett was here as the coach. Yeah. And Paul didn't skate him hard very often.
No, but great hockey player. Willie was a great hockey player.
We were horrible in Rockford, I think it was. We got pasted like 8-0. And we were playing in Missouri, but there was a couple of days between games. So we're in the practice rink at Missouri. We're not even in the real rink. We're in some little practice rink that actually has a bowling alley in it. So a hockey rink bowling alley.
The boys were excited to see that, though. They thought they were going to bowl.
Well, yeah. And we did, actually, afterwards.
Of course we did.
They went out on the ice.
What else are we going to do?
For practice, and there's no pucks. And that's fine. Guys get it. You know, they're professionals. Yeah. They took their medicine. They were doing their thing. The bad part about it is Missouri's practicing after us. So it's getting towards the end of a practice. You know, the guy's been out there for an hour going blue line to blue line, and you know how it goes.
And now they're in there watching?
Now the River Otters are all in there standing around the glass, yep. You know, taping up their sticks.
I know what's coming.
And now, you know, we had a guy, Steve Dix. Mm-hmm. He's like, no. We call it a bag skate. That's one thing.
Right.
But the other team's not going to watch this.
Not going to happen.
He tried to climb over the glass to get at these guys, screaming at them with every word that we can't repeat on the radio. It sounds like a George Carlin show. get in your locker room and wait for us to get off the ice kind of thing.
And by the way, that's not going to happen.
No, the guys are just laughing at him, and it just made the matters Did he wear worse.
That was 44?
I remember.
He was
names.
A fire plug, that guy.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was. I could see him doing it. He was a fire plug.
Yeah,
that's who
he was. You know.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
He was already not happy, and then watching the other guys. So yeah, there were a few. We played him the next night. There were a few fights to start that game. They ended up blowing us out like everybody did that year.
That's
but
awful.
It started out, you know, with some guys taking some frustrations.
Yeah, that's awful. I can remember those days like they were yesterday.
All right, we got to take one final break, and then we'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment.